Jashodanandana Braja Janadanjana. Jashodanandana Braja Janadanjana. Jashodanandana Braja Janadanjana. Jashodanandana Braja Janadanjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava, Jayo Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Vishnupada Paramahansa Pribrojakacharya Stuttara Satoshi Shimad. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki. ISKCON Founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki. Anantakoti Vaishnavarinda Ki. Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Prem Segaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivas Arigaur Bhaktivedanta Ki. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopagopina Shyamakunda Radha Kundigiri Govardhana Ki. Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki. Shri Mayapur Dhamma Ki. Ganga Maya Ki. Jamuna Maya Ki. Bhakti Devi Ki. Chulasi Devi Ki. Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki. Jainitai Gaura Premanandi. All gloriously assembled devotees. All gloriously assembled devotees. All gloriously assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yach Chri Niketam Alibhif Parisevyamanam Bhutya Svaya Kutila Kuntala Vrinda Jushtam Mina Dravyashramya. No, this is in Dravyash Dvayashrayam Dvayashrayam Adikshipad Abja Netram Jayain Manomayam Atandrita Ullasad Bru Yachtri Niketam Alibhif Parisev Yamanam Bhuya Svaya Kutila Kuntala Vrinda Jushtam Mina Dvayashrayam Adhiksh Adhikshi Padabjanetram Jayen Mano Mayamat Tandrita Ulla Sadbru Yachtri Niketam Alibhif Parisev Yamanam Bhutya Svaya Kutila Kuntala Vrinda Jushtam Mina Dvaya Shrayam Adikshi Padabjanetram Jayen Mano Mayamatandrita Ulla Sadbhru Yachtri Niketam Alibhif Parisev Yamanam Bhutya Svaya Kutila Kuntala Vrinda Jushtam Mina Dvaya Shrayam Adikshi Padabjanetram Jayen mano mayamatan drita ulla sadbhru. Yat, which face of the Lord, Shriniketam, a lotus, Alibhi, by bees, Parisevyamanam, surrounded, Bhutya, by elegance, Svaya, its, Kutila, curly, Kuntala, of hair, Vrinda, by a multitude, Jushtam, adorned, Meena, of fish, Dvaya, a pair, Ashrayam, dwelling, Adikshipat, putting to shame, Abja, a lotus, Netram, having eyes. Jayet, one should meditate on. Mana mayam, formed in the mind. Atandrita, attentive. Ullasat, dancing. Bru, having eyebrows. Translation. The yogi then meditates upon the beautiful face of the Lord, which is adorned with curly hair and decorated by bluish, by lotus-like eyes and dancing eyebrows. A lotus surrounded by swarming bees and a pair of swimming fish will be put to shame by its elegance. Purport. One important statement here is Jhayen Manomaya. Manomayam is not imagination. Impersonalists think that the yogi can imagine any form he likes, but, as stated here, the yogi must meditate upon the form of the Lord which is experienced by devotees. Devotees never imagine a form of the Lord. They are not satisfied by something imaginary. The Lord has different eternal forms. Each devotee likes a particular form and thus engages himself in the service of the Lord by worshipping that form. The Lord's form is depicted in different ways according to scriptures. As already discussed, there are eight kinds of representations of the original form of the Lord. These representations can be produced by the use of clay, stone, wood, paint, sand, etc., depending upon the resources of the devotee. Manomayam is a carving of the form of the Lord within the mind. This is included as one of the eight different carvings of the form of the Lord. It is not imagination. Meditation on the actual form of the Lord may be manifest in different manners, but one should not conclude that one has to imagine a form. There are two comparisons in this verse. First, the Lord's face is compared to a lotus, and then his black hair is compared to hummingbees swarming around the lotus, and his two eyes are compared to two fish swimming about. A lotus flower on the water is very beautiful when surrounded by humming bees and fish. The Lord's face is self-evident and complete. His beauty defies the natural beauty of a lotus. So here we're talking about the yogi and how the yogi is performing his meditation. Now he's going through this very technical process here, elevating himself up to this point where then he is meditating on the Lord. So in this is that here the Bhagavatam being the essential aspect of the scriptures, then we're establishing that this meditation upon the form of the Lord is actually the most important element of the yoga system. Patanjali will describe in the beginning as meditation, but actually in the end, when he actually is dealing with the end result of the yoga system, he doesn't actually talk much or at all about the form of the Lord. So Bhagavatam is bringing out that the real yogi is a devotee. There's no difference. So here then, we're meditating upon the form of the Lord. One is that it's being established, must be bona fide. One doesn't just make up anything. Others, most systems of philosophy, they make up a deity. They don't actually work on an authorized form. You just make it up however you like, whatever comes to mind or whatever is popular. Right, just like modern day, then God is old, you know, old with a beard, right? Sits in a big, big armchair, right? You know, because you need an armchair, because if all day all you do is going, you know, heaven, hell, you know, to everybody, you need something to rest your arms on, right? So, you know, these kind of depictions then are made up. Right. Why is it like that? Okay, he's the oldest, so that means he has to be an old wrinkle, right? You know, so it's just, and must be, that's why everyone wants to go to his place, because it must be a nice place that's been around a while. But no one talks about associating with God. Who wants to hang out with an old wrinkle, right? You know, unless, of course, you took up, you know, your religion at 90 years old, and you're going to go in a 90-year-old body, so that person might want to hang out with God like that. But otherwise, you wouldn't. So we see is that this point of it being bona fide is extremely important. We can't make it up, because otherwise what we tend to do is are imagining, or that within our own mind, what is important, what is valuable in this world. From that, then we say, oh, we like this, we like that. Like you say, okay, how are you putting your house together? Right? And it's going to be made up of different things that you've imagined or seen. Well, when I was there at this person's house, they had this kind of curtain thing, and this one, they put their furniture like this, and that place had, you know, this kind of stone, and that one had these kind of tchotchkes sitting around. And in this way, each individual has their imagined idea of the perfect house. Right? Like this. It's taken from God's creation. So many things are there. So from that, then we establish what are our values. This is good, this is not good, that's beautiful, that's not, this is desirable, this is not. So even though it's based on the creation, our impetus for it is our own imagination, our own mind, our own taste. So then when we're dealing with the Lord, then the element of having a variety to choose from and choosing according to your taste, that remains. But it's not based on the principle of it's things that you've seen of this world. Therefore, the example is given of something very beautiful and graceful, the lotus flower, you know, blowing in the breeze there with, you know, fully open and the nice colors, and then the bees humming around and all that, and that whole, how it all works. And then with the swimming fish, the fish swim together, and that all combined still is put to shame by Krishna's beauty. So we wouldn't put this together, because otherwise we may have very unique senses of beauty, right? You know, it's like somebody got out a nail gun, you know, and went crazy, and then we call, that's beautiful, wow, you know. It's like, you know, somehow or another, you know, the guy was putting in their earrings and missed and put it into their eyebrow, you know, or, you know, something like that, you know. So you understand? So we have to somehow or another understand that beauty is already established. What we're doing is seeing small, small reflections of that throughout the creation. And yes, it does have an element of beauty, but actually what is the standard of beauty? That then we have to learn from the scriptures. Guru, Sadhu, and Shah, we have to learn from there. Then we actually know what's beautiful. Otherwise, we don't actually know. Because everybody, you're going through a different sense of beauty, right? You ever see these bugs? Very unique, the colors and everything like that, and the shapes and the little bumps here and there with fluorescent colors and all that. So to each other, they look really good, right? They, you know. But the thing is so each lifetime, there's a different sense of beauty. There's a different element of Krishna's beauty there, but it's not manifest in its full form. That's manifest in this form, as we see here, what is being meditated upon by the yogi, the bona fide forms. These are then the full manifestation of that beauty. Otherwise, then there'll be something less. So it's important that it's not you just do whatever you like. This concept of do whatever you like, you should understand, actually comes from the impersonal school of thought. Right? That there is no authority, there is no law, so whatever you want to do is okay. We generally take it that it's coming from the side of karma. No, karma appreciates it very much. But karma, it's known that there are rules. You're good, you get a good result. You're bad, you get a bad result. But impersonalists don't care for this good and bad because they're not interested in karma. So what does that leave you? If you don't have spiritual understanding of activity, the only activity you know is material, and that material, then you don't follow. So what's left? Your imagination. So this concept of just, I do what I like, I'm free, you know, why all these rules, this and that, blah, you know, this is the modern age, we do whatever, you know, is important, or what. This is impersonalism. It's not even karma. And then we're applying it that we're going to be good in the karma field, be good in business, be good in money. But is it working? Is it working? Go ahead, name me how many devotees have a really good, serious amount of money. Right? If it's working so good, name. How many are there? You could count on one, two hands. And the fun part is they didn't just get it today. They've had it for the last 20, 30 years. When they moved out of the temple and went outside, bingo, within a year or two, they had tons of money. And everybody else is going around saying, we're just being practical, this, that, blah. Still no money. It's not working. Why? Because those guys that have the money, they're not doing just whatever they please. They're doing what works. And what works means it's coming from God. Whether you recognize it or not, that makes a difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Right? The devotee recognizes that economics comes from God. Practicality comes from God. Time, place, and circumstance come from God. God made time. He made place. He made circumstance. We didn't make it. Those work, why? Because they're coming from God. So we can't make it up. In the previous verses, it's saying, the arms of the Lord, right? Because in the meditation, you start with the feet, you go up. Now we're at the face, and especially the upper part of the face. So what's being mentioned is the Lord's arms. So the Lord's arms are the source of universal law. Right? Now, think of it. When you are looking for shelter, right, and that you need some support, right, then a good hug always helps. So therefore, getting hugged by the Lord, you can do that through following God's laws. Right? God's laws make it comfortable for us. We know what's happening. It's secure. We know what will happen from point to point. You know, there's no chance, because if everybody's making it up, you don't know what's going to happen at the next moment. Because today everybody's saying this, that. Tomorrow it's, you know, oh, that's so yesterday, you know. Or that's so this morning, you know. You know, so it's just, you know, how much can we go on with that? Where is there going to be any security? Right? It's all right as long as you're the one saying it was so yesterday, or it was so 2006, right? You know, then what? It's fine. But what happens if someone else steps up and they're bolder than you? Then you're so, you know, out of it. Where's the security? There isn't any. So there's only security in the arms of the Lord. Right? And that's where all the laws are established from. Right? There's things we like. We like food. Why do we like food? It's a law of God. Right? We get our food, we're comfortable. I bring you the elephant's food, you won't be very happy. Food, lots of food. Man, he gets more food than anybody. But still, you won't want his food. Right? So, laws like that, this works. So, now we're coming to this, we're coming to the Lord's beautiful face. So, it can't be made up. This is real. This is what he looks like. And now, yeah, and so then, just as a side point to point out before we get into talking this, is that for those who like to profess or have heard about or are bewildered by the concept that probably gave the ABCs, and there's always someone else who claims they can give you something more. Here's the Bhagavatam verse, third canto, Kapila Muni's instructions on Shankhya Yoga to his mom, right here, talking about the yogi meditating in that. And then he says, a lotus surrounded by swarming bees and a pair of swimming fish would be put to shame by its eloquence. Elegance. So here we think, okay, there's a lotus, some bees, and there's a like this. Now, would from reading this, you would have put together that the lotus is meaning his face, and the swarms of bees are his hair, and that the swimming pair of fish are his eyes. So his eyes are moving like the fish. They move together, and they move around. And his hair is moving like bees. And his face is like a lotus, right? His forehead, his eyes, his all these things. Where would we have got that from? That's in the purport. Prabhupada's ABC purport. You know? ABC my ass. You know, these persons, whoever says this, have no idea actually who Prabhupada is and what it means to be from the spiritual world. Read a few books and then think, I know so much. You know a word that nobody else knows. Oh, I'm so great. This, in according to Vishwanath, is called Utsamayi. Very enthusiastic about knowing very little. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not, and we can stretch this to all the way up to the platform of Bhava. Because we have to understand, Vishwanath also points out that until you come to prema, you're not a devotee. Excuse me, he doesn't say, Baladev says this. No, excuse me, Vishwanath says this. You're not a devotee till you come to prema. Below prema, you're not a devotee. You're a practicing devotee. You're an aspiring devotee. So how can someone below the platform of prema make comments about people who are on the platform of prema? Someone who's not a devotee cannot understand who a devotee is. And the sooner you understand this, the sooner this movement's going to move forward and everyone's going to go back to Godhead. And as long as you sit around, well, Prabhupada doesn't quite know what he's talking about. You know, it's like he knows the spiritual world, which is real, it's solid, and this is just a reflection of that. And somehow or another, he doesn't know the reflection. That's like saying the person knows himself but can't figure out what's going in a mirror. Right? Even a porpoise can figure out what's going on in a mirror. And we're trying to say Prabhupada doesn't know these things. This is not a devotee. This is not a disciple. Claiming, oh, we're such, you know, we're disciples of Prabhupada. He wrote us millions of times, this, that. But that's not a disciple. Rupa Goswami said things that no one had ever heard of before. They were not backed up by scripture, you know, when he spoke them, right? And people started to doubt Rupa Goswami. And so what did Jiva Goswami do? He went through the Vedic literatures and established all the points that Rupa Goswami made, gave the scriptural evidences. That's disciple. Anything else is a pseudo-nonsense. You have a doubt and now it's Prabhupada's fault? Prabhupada doesn't know? We're so smart? Mlechas and Yavanas, and we're so smart? It's not how it works. Devotional service doesn't work like that. So we can see here, Prabhupada's taking a very formal verse of Shankya on Astanga Yoga and turning it into rasa. And we're so dull we can't see this. So dull. Right? That's dull. Point is first you have to know what rasa is. Then you can start talking about it. So Prabhupada knows what rasa is. He doesn't make it cheap. Sit around, get a bunch of neophyte devotees, get out a book, read some things, the words no one's heard of, and then think, Wes, we're so advanced, we're really tasting the rasa and nobody else is. It's nonsense. Rupa Goswami, the Acharyas, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, they're all speaking the same thing. There's no difference. You know? Those from the spiritual world don't just give ABCs. What we forget is this is the descending process, right? This argument that Prabhupada only gave ABCs is okay for an ascending process because ABCs are very basic, right? Then you move up and up and up. But descending process means it started with the most elaborate, technical, literary wonderfulness that there is, and then comes down to ABCs for us. That's the process from the spiritual world. So to say that Prabhupada only gave the ABCs, that is a statement of mundane logic. Right? We're just talking facts here. Anybody takes this and tries to make it into a personal thing, you just prove yourself to be a real neophyte. Real neophyte. The fact is anyone from the spiritual world, what they gave, anything, even you take one drop of it, you can go back to Godhead with it. You don't need to know some fancy terms. Right in the Krishna book, it's talking how Krishna's walking with the gopis. How he's walking with the gopis, arm in arm. How is he walking? Some of them he has his hand on their shoulder. Some of them on their waist. Some of them on their breast. So that's Rasika or not? How many even know that? It's right there in Prabhupada's Krishna book. We read it to our kids every day. How much detail is there? It's so much. We're just so dull we can't see it. So unless some Sanskrit word comes up, then we don't think it's anything. Prabhupada says it in simple English so we fatheads can understand it. Right? And then, oh, it's basic. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make any sense. So fortunately, then, Prabhupada takes Baladev as the important perspective in his translation of Gita, because Gita is the basics. And he's leaned more, though he takes all of Vishwanath's points, but he takes from the perspective of Baladev, which is fortunate for us. Because Baladev says, if it's connected to devotional service, it's counted as devotional service. Vishwanath, of course, he agrees with that, but his point is never think, never become proud until you come to prema. And then once you come to prema, who's going to be proud? Right? Because if you in any way think you're better like that, then you've missed the point. You've just missed the point. So devotional service then means that we are following in the footsteps. That's why he said we're going to be doing that eternally. Right? This is a very important point. Rag Anuga means following those in rag. Those ones in who are in rag, they are rag atmika. Should get this point straight also. Means Radharani is rag atmika. Mother Yashoda is rag atmika. Sudam, Sridam, Madhumanga, their rag atmika means raga or attachment to Krishna is their life. We don't have that attachment. So we're rag anuga. We follow those with rag. So once you come to prema, raga nuga still remains. It doesn't change then to raga ragatmika, and then there's no more raga nuga. You can say, yes, your determination and that is rag, but it's rag of who? Not your own rag. It's a rag of those above you. You never have your own rag. What is this own rag? 1/10,000th the tip of the hair is going to walk around with some significant rag. No, Radharani, she's the cosmic creation. She's unlimited. So you want to give Krishna 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, or you want to give you unlimited? So if you serve that, then it's unlimited plus 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. So that's your choice. You want to be ragatmika, go for it. Go up there with your wave around your 1/1,000th the tip of the hair. But we're raga nuga. So therefore, these terms are overlapping. So to make them into these nice little Western computerized little boxes with arrows that have no connection with each other means you don't understand relationship. Relationship means you're emphasizing this or that. You can't, you have the relationship, you have the husband, you have the wife. You have to have both for the relationship. Sometimes you're talking on about the husband, sometimes about the wife, sometimes about what they do, sometimes the feelings. So, but you're emphasizing different aspects, but it's still one thing. So the ragatmika is, yes, it is there. They're the ragatmika, we're raganuga, we're following their rag. We don't have rag. Our rag is wanting to assist in their rag. That's it. Right? So these things, servant of the servant of the servant, that's there. That contains all of that. All we did is add some fancy terms. And now it becomes so rasik. Right? So everything is already there. Prabhupada's giving it. Prabhupada's giving us all these very, very nice, nice things. And what he's pointing out here is very important. We think, oh, well, this is for the yogis. But we're imagining all the time what's important, what's of value. Right? When we put on our shirt in the morning, why did we pick that shirt? Think that'll look good today. Or that sari, why did we pick? What's the basis? Right? Is it going to be Krishna likes this color, or I'd like to wear this color for Krishna today? Or it's just, oh, this looks nice. I think I'll look good in this today. So one is actual devotional service. The other is just your imagination, your own mind. It's that simple. That's all the difference between the two. Gopis are seeing Krishna. Aristasura is seeing Krishna. The same one. What's the difference? They see with love, so they see Braja Krishna, and Aristasura is looking at death personified. Right? Standing in the same spot. So what's going on here? It's simply consciousness. So the consciousness, why you picked what you wore today, can be the difference between is it devotional service or it's just your mind. Therefore, this verse is telling you about that. And then we'll think, oh, that's been there, done that. Nobody's been there, done that. Prabhupada's sitting in Calcutta, they're dropping bombs on Calcutta, the Japanese during World War II. And he's seeing Krishna in the bombs. He says it's not a very nice form of Krishna, but it's Krishna. That's the thing. Whatever you see, anything that gives you any kind of emotional reaction, of attraction, of repulsion, of need, of excitement, is all Krishna. Just there's nicer forms and there's not nicer forms. That's why the Bhagavatam is here. To show you that everything is Krishna and how everything there has a hierarchy. What is better? Right? Otherwise, how are you going to tell Braja Krishna's a nicer form, more sweet than Krishna and Dwarka or Vaikuntha? So in the same way, how do you tell the difference here? Right? How do you tell the difference? Unless you're using these standards that are given by the Shastra. You can't tell. You'll make up your own. Because you have to remember, here being a reflection, whatever is the lowest up there, we consider to be the highest. Right? We consider to be the highest. So that's the problem. So therefore, yeah, in main point here is that Krishna's beauty is the greatest, it's the most wonderful. There's nothing greater than that or more attractive. Therefore, we have to meditate upon that. Don't make up other things. Don't be attracted by other aspects because they never will be as beautiful. They just can't be as beautiful because Krishna is the full manifestation while these others are parts. So therefore, then the yogi is supposed to meditate upon the Lord, not on something else like that. Okay, we're a bit over time like that. So we'll end here, and if there are any questions, we'll continue after about 5 minutes with questions for anyone who'd like. Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktabrinda ki, Jainitai Gaura Premanandi.